This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time. Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I'm a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and a researcher. And I'm joined by your other host, Dr. Martin Mendelson. Martin is a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and author. And his first book, One Move Makes All the Difference, is available now. It came out just a few weeks ago. So if you haven't picked it up, make sure you pick it up. Today, we're talking about what dental school didn't teach us and what we had to learn on our own and what we wish we had learned earlier.
Yeah.
So Martin, how was your weekend?
Oh my gosh. It was crazy. So I had an experience that I talked about on Instagram. How many of you would absolutely panic if you rolled up to the airport and as you get to being dropped off, you realize you don't have your wallet?
Ooh.
Yeah. So I immediately thought to myself, think of your team framework. I did. I'm not making that up, which is, for those who don't know, thoughts drive emotions, it drive actions, it manifest results. And so I like to work it backwards. You know, what do I need to manifest right now? What action has to support that? I'm not kidding. I really did it. And so I thought to myself, you know what? Wait a minute. I was on my way to a speaking gig in New Orleans, a very important one. And I was the next morning. So I couldn't miss my flight, right?
Yeah.
I realized I have Clear and I have a digital ID for the state of Arizona. I knew I could get on the flight. I was there two nights and I knew that I would have enough time to get overnighted some form of ID. I knew I didn't need a credit card because tap to pay is a thing now with your phone. So I literally didn't panic. I said nothing to Michael because he would. I went through security. I then called and I said,
so wait, how did you get your license if you didn't say anything to Michael?
Oh, no. Right then and there.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Because I'll go home. Yeah. He always drops me off for 99% of the time. So I knew he would not be happy and he would absolutely go home and come back. And I didn't have time for that. Right.
Yeah.
So I called him and I said, everything's fine. I'm through security. I'm going to get on my plane. I forgot my wallet. He's like, oh my God. I'm like, look, it's not a big deal. So he ended up overnighting me actually my global entry card, not my license, which was his idea, which I thought was amazing. Because what happens if that gets lost or the shipment gets delayed and I don't get it?
Yeah.
And now I have to replace my license. That would be a pain, right?
Yeah.
So I got my global entry and he texted me a picture of my license for the hotel. Everything was fine. And I didn't freak out. And I was so proud of myself.
I mean, that is true self-mastery,
right? Yeah. There.
You know, controlling your emotions.
Yep.
And I think the biggest thing for people that are new to personal growth or any of this kind of stuff that may sound kind of fluffy or woo-woo to you is that Martin had the self-awareness to first say, right? First have a question. How should I react to this?
That's almost verbatim what I thought to myself. I'm not kidding. Really. Yeah.
And that is just practice.
Yeah.
For anybody listening, That is a skill that Martin has developed
Yeah.
just like prepping a crown.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Yeah.
funny. I don't think I told you this, but I had a similar story happen I was involved with last week.
No.
Yes. So, okay. So, my friend Daniel, he's from Peru, but he lives in the Netherlands. He's a dentist. And he and his laboratory technician were taking a course in the Inland Empire in Southern California. And they were on their way back to LAX, and they said, "We'd love to come see you and maybe go to the beach." I
Yeah.
said, "Great." So they came to my small little beach town and they met us at the beach. I was there with my kids. And they had some traffic, so they couldn't stay very long. And so we talked for maybe 20 minutes and had fun and caught up. I see him every maybe 5 years or so, somewhere around the world. And
Yeah.
so I hadn't seen him in a long time. And we take some pictures and he leaves. I tell them where to go eat before they're going back up to LAX. And I text him, I don't know, maybe an hour or two later and just said, you know, "Where did you end up eating?" Because I gave a few different recommendations. And he called me and he goes, "Hey, I forgot my bag at the beach." And I
Oh.
said, "Where are you?" And he said, "We're at LAX." So
Ugh.
for those that don't know, that's about 90 minutes to 2 hours from where I live.
Maybe two and a half on a bad
Yeah,
day.
depending. It was a Saturday, so it wasn't bad.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay.
And he said, "Well, I checked my Find My iPhone and it says it's still there." And I
Wow.
said, "Well, I'm gonna go back to the beach and find it."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, what are you gonna do? Like, do you have time?" And he said, "Well, we're gonna start heading back your way." So I went back, I got the bag, which looked kind of weird because I just walked down, saw that, grabbed it, and there were
Yeah.
some people looking at me. So I called Daniel and was like, "Hey, Daniel, I
I
got your
got your
bag.
phone.
It's still here. Your passport's in it. Everything's in it."
Wow.
And so, like, people weren't freaking out about me stealing someone's bag. And so then I had my kids with me. That's when I was alone with my kids, where I
Yeah.
couldn't leave my kids at home, right?
Right.
So I ended up talking with my neighbor, who's very close with us. And I just said, "Hey, can you watch my kids for a little bit? I'm gonna start driving towards my
Yeah.
friend."
Yeah.
So I drove to my friend. We met in a random parking lot. He
Yeah.
basically pulled up, got the bag,
Yeah.
turned around, and I just
Wow.
said, "Message me and tell me that you got on the plane."
Yeah.
And so, like, an hour and a half later, he messages me. He said, "The gate was closed. The window was closed, like, to check in. They reopened it for us. We got on the plane." He
Wow.
said, "Kyle, every minute that you saved us by driving towards us, you
Yeah.
got us on the plane." And this wasn't a
That's
small plane.
amazing.
They're actually flying back to Peru.
Oh.
So, yeah, he made it. So it's like,
That's wild.
a
Yeah.
similar story with airports and that kind of stuff.
That's wild. Yeah. It's yeah, these are the kinds of things dental school doesn't teach us, right?
Yeah,
So,
right.
well, and it's hysterical 'cause where I was flying to was the American College of Prosthodontists.
Amazing.
And it's just so interesting. It's such a esteemed group, right? And there were a couple people in the exhibit hall. It was a pretty large exhibit hall that were kind of new to dentistry. And so I always talk about what we do on this podcast and what we do together. And this one sales representative that was very experienced in that field. It was like a software stuff, but he was new to dentistry. He's like, "Tell me more about why dentistry is so stressful." And I was like, "Well."
That's a 2, 3, 4 day course, depending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought it was really interesting, and honestly, I was so well received because in this construct I was able to talk about what it is we do.
Yeah.
And for those who know the American College of Pros, there's a lot of academicians, there's a lot of residents and that kind of thing. So my message of thoughts lead to emotions that drive actions and manifest results really resonated with people, and then hearing that you and I are looking to help and combat the unfortunate statistics in our profession, which I think, and this isn't a knock, it's just a reality. It's just we're not given those tools in dental school, nor is it talked about as openly that we're going to have these challenges, which to some degree I respect because you don't want to scare people, but by the same token, you got to give them skills. So
Yeah,
it's an
it's a
interesting
difficult
thing.
challenge, and a lot of people in my courses, your courses, our courses together, will say, "Well, gosh, I really wish I learned this in dental school."
Yeah, almost every time, yeah.
And it's like, I get that. And I wish we learned in dental school too, but also we have to learn all the clinical stuff. So I kind of get why we don't. I think what they could do better is prepare us and kind of say, hey, when you graduate here, you're going to be okay at clinical dentistry. You may not be super proficient or efficient, but you're going to be okay at clinical dentistry. Our recommendation is that you spend at least 25% of your time, effort, and money on non-clinical stuff going forward. And that's, I would say that's a minimum. But even if people did that, because Martin, let's be honest, most doctors do 100% clinical. Time, effort, and
Absolutely.
money, 100% clinical.
Well, and I gotta credit and thank my dear friend Dr. Doug Benting, who's the current president of the ACP. He's the one that invited me. And I believe I was the only person on that podium that wasn't talking dentistry or research, et cetera. In fact, I got a chance to see my old friend, Dr. Ed McLaren. I haven't seen him forever.
Oh, Ed, wow.
And so that was super fun.
I spoke
But
together with Ed at AACD last year or 2 years ago or something.
yeah. We had a fun, I didn't even tell you this. We had a fun conversation about you. I was like, I don't know if you realize I'm doing stuff with somebody I know you know. And he's like, who? So that was a fun conversation. But it's really cool to see things open up. And in fact, I was approached by one individual who said, have you ever considered doing commencement addresses? And I said, I would be so honored to do that. Are you kidding? Get
Gosh,
these
that would be
people as
so
they're,
needed, especially for dental school, but really, I mean, any commencement.
Like, how cool is that? So, but yeah, they don't
Well,
teach us.
I was in Detroit last year, last week, 2 weeks ago. I can't remember when it was. A huge
That was a
400
big room.
person study club,
That
first
was
of all.
insane how big that was.
Yeah, so that's my friend, Dr. Katranji in Detroit, an amazing periodontist. It's got to be one of the biggest study clubs in the US or North America. Because it's a study club.
I would agree based upon your Instagram post. I
it,
was like, holy smokes.
it was wild. But it's funny, after I talked about AI in the morning and then I talked about mental health and this kind of stuff in the afternoon, soft skills. And I had multiple people come up to me and tell me exactly what this podcast is about. They said, I wish I had learned this in dental school.
Interesting.
I probably wouldn't have had the struggles that I have now, or did have, or will have. And so it's so nice to hear that people are starting to see this light, that yes, I know I need to be good clinical dentist. But that's the baseline. And after that, there's diminishing returns on getting better clinically.
Correct.
You know, it's like I give this example, taking your margins from 45 microns to 39 microns, that could take you 10 years to do. And no one's going to notice. It's not going to decrease any stress for you. It's probably not going to make you any more money. Not going to give you better relationships. You're not going to be happier because of it. But that's what so many of us do. And when you talk to dentists, and there's surveys on this, and Martin and I have talked to thousands of dentists about this, and we say, what are your biggest stressors? They say, my team, money. Communication, setting boundaries, negative reviews, not knowing who to help me get through this. And so that's a lot of the things that dentistry didn't, or that dental school didn't provide us.
Yeah, totally. So, I have an idea of like a tool for folk to, but do you want to talk about that now or you want to keep going on stuff they didn't teach us?
No, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Okay, so if you've ever heard of the Eisenhower matrix, it's a four quadrant matrix, so named for the former president of the United States, who was not just a politician, if you're unfamiliar with history. He was one of the Allied commanders in World War II, very organized, driven man. So it's a four quadrant matrix where the one axis is importance and the other axis is urgency. And so there's YouTube videos on this. I invite you to look it up. But so how can you use this? I invite you to use this, and I talk with my coaching clients about this all the time. What you do is you start with the bigger buckets of stuff that's on your plate. And then you can put it into the Eisenhower matrix to then help you figure out how to deal with this stuff. So the four quadrants are as follows. So we're going to start in the upper left and we're going to go clockwise. So the upper left is urgent and important. It's stuff you got to do that's time bound, likely time bound in a short time frame. Really important. It's got to get on your to-do. It's got to get done. Like maybe payroll every 2 weeks would be an example.
Yeah.
Number two, quadrant number two is urgent, sorry, excuse me, important but not urgent. So you could actually argue, and I did this on purpose, that payroll might fit in there too. Now you'd say, isn't payroll urgent? Well, not necessarily that day. So you would schedule those things. Another example would be going to the gym, your physical fitness. That's important. Is it technically urgent? No,
No, you don't do it today.
you're not going to keel over if you don't go today, but it will get you a year or
Yeah,
two
long
down the
term.
road. On the lower right is actually eliminate. Not urgent, not important. Why are we doing it? And then on the lower left, going all the way back around, is not important but urgent. Those are the things we would delegate. So when you can chunk everything, then you start to see the things that you need to be doing versus the things that you need to be scheduling so that you don't wake up at 3 in the morning and go, I forgot to do that, or the things that you can delegate. So I'll give you one example that is very relevant to any dental professional. Kyle and I don't really practice. Well, I don't practice at all anymore. You practice minimally. Yet we have businesses, just like a dental practice. We both, thanks, Kyle, have a bookkeeper. Why? Because it takes a lot of time to deal with receipts, income, invoices, all that kind of stuff, just like a dental practice. And if we did that stuff, then it would take us time away from other stuff that we could be doing. So that's actually a really good example that's universal, regardless of whether you own a practice or not.
Well, that's a good topic. What you bring in is that value of time.
Yep. It's huge.
And this is something that as young doctors, we don't really realize because many of us have more time.
Yeah.
We may not
Yeah.
be married yet. We may not have children yet. We may not have our own practices. We may not have as many priorities as a
Yeah.
more senior doctor.
Yeah.
And so we get into this thing that, oh, well, I have the time, so I'll just do it myself. I have time, so I'll
Yeah.
just do it myself,
Yeah.
which is fine if you have the time.
Correct.
Then it comes to a point of, let's say maybe you're 10 years into practice, and maybe you own a practice now. Maybe you are married, maybe you have children, something, you have more responsibilities. This is when a lot of people get in trouble because they still have the ideology that they are this young doctor that has all this time, and
Yeah.
so they still try to do everything themselves,
Correct.
not realizing what their time is worth. So,
Correct.
the ADA has come out at least one time saying that the average cost per hour per chair is $440. And we still have a lot of people that are doing their own, you name it.
Ordering payroll,
Yes,
whatever. Right.
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 And I see this, I saw this too with ortho. So a lot
Yeah.
of
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
GPs that are doing ortho, but input any specialty procedure that you're not efficient at, okay? Even a GP procedure you're not efficient at. And they say, well, I do it because I can, it's more production, let's say. And you have to say, well, production per what unit of time?
Bingo.
Because I know, doc, that you can prep a crown start to finish in, let's say, 45 minutes, an hour, or whatever. And that turns out to be, let's say, $1,000 an hour. And you're saying, well, I did this ortho case and it's $4,000. Yeah, but it took you 10 hours to do it. And there's this just unknown unknown, this hidden naivete, let's say, in this that we're missing. And that's something that they didn't teach us in dental school. And that really comes back to teaching us business skills.
It's true. And so I love that you brought the clinical element into this because the time ROI is universal. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to make more money because now I'm going to start doing molar endo. Really? Well, how long does it take you to do that? Or I'm going to save money because I'm going to do my payroll every whatever cadence. Really? Well, when are you doing that? Well, I usually do it after I get home. Oh, okay. So how important is spending time with your spouse or your children or your friends or or extended family? Like there's worth to that too. So the question becomes, okay, what's really important to you? And so, not only in my book, but in my coaching, and you can look this up. I reference it appropriately in my book. There's something called the Wheel of Life. That's an exercise that was developed a couple decades ago. And oh, we do this in Lights
We
On
do
Live,
this in Lights
actually.
I'd like,
Yeah, I forgot about that too. I love it so much. I do it everywhere. And so it's a wheel. And the spokes are different elements of your life, professional development, finances, relationships, even intimacy, that kind of stuff. And then you pick from 1 to 10 or 0 to 10, 0 meaning it's terrible, 10 meaning it's perfect, how you feel you are at that time, and then you connect it, right? And everybody sees that their wheel is all wonky. And literally, Kyle and I look at everybody and go, great, what's it telling you? Well, shoot, I need to really think about this area of my life. Well, then if it's the case of, let's say, your relationships, family, friends, whatever, just say relationships, and you're spending all this time doing X, then would it potentially be worth it to you to hire a fractional CFO or a bookkeeper or, whatever to be able to handle that? And also, we all know how taxing dentistry is physically, emotionally, mentally, and also from a awakeness perspective. I'll give you a different example that just happened this week. So, as part of my book launch, because we're recording this before the book is out, I'm trademarking a couple things. My lawyer emailed me and said, "Hey, Martin, by the way, I noticed that you put the TM designation on your website on this idea. You can't do that." I thought I was supposed to. Because if they look at that, they're going to reject you because you can't do that. So what did I do? I have a virtual assistant that I just hired this year. I literally picked up my phone. I didn't send him an email. I sent him a video. And I said, "Hey, Jaime, I just got a phone with a lawyer. This is the challenge we have. Can you please go through my website page by page, including the downloads, remove every TM designation from this concept?" And we have this shtick between us. I'm like, "Please confirm you received this." And he's like, "Got it, doc. Happy to do it." Not even a day later, he goes, "I did it. Please check to make sure I didn't miss anything." Done. Now, this was in the middle of 2 gigs back-to-back weeks.
Right, you're flying in airports and you're speaking and you're meeting people and you're tired and
And by the way, he knows the website stuff way better than I do. So, and again, he had to go in and downloadable documents and fix those and blah, blah, blah. So what would my time, my alertness be worth, which would then ultimately relate, and this is why I feel it's a metaphorical example to clinical. How would that have affected my performance on a stage in front of 1,000 people? How would taking on extra burdens affect your clinical prowess, your alertness at the chair? So this stuff is so important to think about. And listen, Kyle and I are not saying money grows on trees. And we recognize, as Kyle already said, when we're younger, when we don't have the resources, we can't always do this stuff. Yet, even if you're in that place, if you're thinking about these things and you're planning for the future, then when you're ready, you can pull the trigger to be able to give you that time back to be doing other things, whatever those other things are, right?
Yeah, it's like having that self-awareness that this concept even exists of
Yeah,
the
totally.
value of your time, right?
Totally, totally, totally.
When I think of what dental school didn't teach me that I wish I had learned
Yeah.
too, it's almost that same thing. It's self-awareness. And I don't know if that's something that is that something that can be taught?
Oh, 100%. Because self-awareness, I'm going to then extend to emotional intelligence. Because
Right.
so many elements of emotional intelligence are self-awareness. There's
Because I feel
self-regard.
like I learned self-awareness,
Yeah.
and I feel like a lot of the things that I teach, you see it when people are taking our courses. They have that aha moment. They go, oh my gosh,
Yeah. You can
you
almost
do
you can
too.
literally see
That's
it.
me. Oh my gosh, he's like
Yeah.
in my brain. He knows exactly what I'm going through. And that's one thing that a good educator can do is allow people to realize what is causing them their problems.
Yeah.
And so I think not having that self-awareness was so hard for me, and a big reason why I went through burnout. And it's funny because when we talk to dentists, and I said this earlier in the podcast, but when I talk to dentists and live events and I say, what's your biggest stressors? I don't think I've ever had a dentist tell me, oh, it's prepping that tooth, that second molar with the patient with the big tongue. Like
Yeah.
that's what keeps me up at night. It's
Well,
not.
you know what's interesting? You know what you just made me think of? You're absolutely right. I 100% agree with you. And we do hear similar when they're at a place where they have the awareness that something needs to change. And what they're saying is, I don't like doing molar endo. I don't like doing crowns. I don't like doing composites or two surface composites. But that's kind of later down the road, right? So,
For sure.
yeah.
Yeah. That tends to not be their biggest stressor.
Correct. Oh, 100%.
That tends to be somewhere in the bag of stresses that they get. And in that same moment that these doctors will say, my biggest stressor is my team, in the same sentence, they'll say, in the last 12 months, I spent all my money on clinical dentistry.
Bingo.
And they may not even realize that what they did was incorrect.
Yeah.
Because it's like our profession keeps telling them, well, just get better clinically, just get better clinically, just get better
Yeah.
clinically, and everything will fall into place. I had a professor tell me that. Just do good work and everything will work out.
Well, and I also think that it's a bit of a humanistic trait in that many of us have had challenging experiences as leaders or challenging experiences with team members. And so then one of the most insidious and dangerous thought processes or stories we tell ourselves is the helpless story, where we say, well, it's just going to happen anyway, or, team is going to end up not working out anyway, or whatever else. It's like, okay, well, let's not disrespect your previous experiences, but who the heck made up that rule? And
So true.
as we've talked about other times in this podcast, it's like if you were to extrapolate and theoretically have your team know, not that you would, but have your team know that that's your thought process, how ticked off would they be?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you think I'm a yutz and I'm gonna like screw you over? Like, screw you. I mean, and so yes, that's extreme, but if you think about that, that's what we're saying.
Well, I bring it down to this in dentistry. Dentistry is stressful, period.
Bingo. Yeah.
Okay. There are stresses that we can avoid.
Yeah.
There are some. There are stresses that we can't avoid. However, there are ways to understand those ones that we can't avoid. There are ways to deal with them. There are ways to decrease them, perhaps.
Yeah.
And so it's like you will never have every single one of your patients always show up on time. That's
Yeah.
not going to happen. What you can do is set the expectations beforehand on what will happen if they show up late.
Yep.
And that will then reduce your stress, your
Yeah.
team's stress, and even your patient's stress, really, even if it's worse for them,
Yeah.
because they'll know what's going to happen.
Totally. Yeah. It can be a hard pill to swallow because it really does force you to think about things, and it forces you to think about potentially a lot of things if you really want to dig down into it. And at the end of the day, it's not going to happen overnight.
No. Well,
But,
none of
one
this
is greater
happens.
than zero, right?
Yes, none of this happens overnight. One move makes all the difference, right? First
Yeah,
step is the most important step. One of the things I wish I had learned earlier, and they don't really teach you this in dental school, is that you get to pick your patients. And this may also sound like a, oh, we're up here on this mountaintop and, we don't need any money, so we can just pick whatever patient we want. No, I'm saying this in an understandable way. At the beginning of your career, you may need to take on cases you don't want to do. However, I would understand the trade-off that you're taking if the money is worth the time, if the stress is worth the time, because I took on many, many, many cases that I made a lot of money on. And I'll tell you, I would love to give all that money back and have all of that stress not have gone through me and my family.
One of my favorite Frank Spear stories that he tells from the podium was about the time he was talking about this topic and that you don't need to treat everybody. And I'm gonna butcher this, but basically he says to the audience, like, how many of you have patients in mind that you'd like to get rid of? And apparently this young man in the front row put up his hand and says, I know it's 43 or some random number. And as Frank shares, it stopped him in his tracks. And he said to the guy, he goes, why is it 43? It turns out he was a new grad, joined his, or he was about to graduate or a new grad, one of the two, and he
Okay.
was joining his dad's practice and he was going to buy his dad's practice. And his dad was one of those people that would bend over backwards for anybody regardless. And he was like, nope, I'm getting rid of all these people. And so he had the self-awareness to realize and observe the stress these individuals were causing the practice, his father, potentially him. And he had the self-awareness enough to be like, nope, not going to do it.
So funny
It's
that
one of
you
my
mentioned
favorite
that. I
stories.
just had someone messaged me on Instagram or email, I can't remember what it was, I think it was Instagram, and asked me what to do with a patient that doesn't want to take x-rays. And it was the same experience because it was his dad's practice that he took over, and now he's the owner, and some patient wants to leave because he wants them to take radiographs. And I had to really tell him, good riddance to this. To this patient. You don't make money off of these people. You can't treat them well. Your team hates them. You hate them. I mean, hate is a strong word, but you dislike them. It ruins your day. And it goes back to what you were saying earlier in this podcast is I wish that they had taught us in dental school that we need to show up as our best self every day. Because I just record, I didn't tell you, I just re-recorded Module 3 and Module 4 of my course, just to upload some stuff. Yeah, that's probably why my voice is so sore, because then I did a live webinar too, and that's multiple hours of recording. And I'm just so reminded of this idea that when you come into the practice, you need to be at 100%, or maybe whatever you 100% is for you that day, because there are going to be these things we can't avoid. And so you're going to finish lower. You're going to have less energy. You're going to have a little more stress by the end of the day. That's normal. But let's say you finish at 60% if you started at 100. But what if you started at 60?
Well,
Then you're finishing, what, maybe 10%, right? I mean, you've
yeah.
got nothing left for the people when you get home.
Well, and what I was going to say too is I couldn't agree with you more. I violently agree with you. And you just said it. Your best self on any given day might be 45%. And that's got to be okay because you're a human being. Now, what's not
Yes.
okay is allowing your life to continue to cause the reasons behind you're at 45%
Right.
with the things you can control. That's what's not okay. And I think that's
Yes.
in large part what we're talking about here today, right?
Yeah.
So,
So let's bring this into land here. If you had to summarize some of the things that you wish that they had taught us in dental school,
I think it's the evaluative process of your life, meaning sitting down and thinking about, okay, these are all the things that are on my plate in buckets first, go big and then, macro to micro. Which of these do I enjoy doing? How long do they take me to do? If I had a magic wand and I could eliminate the ones I don't like, which ones would they be? And then start to dig deeper to drive a greater level of satisfaction, lower amounts of stress, and greater levels of happiness in your life. I think it's the it's what so I guess what I would couch it as is this the totality of awareness of what's on our plate in our lives. How about that?
Yeah, it's funny because my first thought was self-awareness. That's what I wish we would have been taught. And as you were talking, I was feeling like you were talking about intention, which
I'm
is
known for that word.
right. Yeah. I mean, Martin and I made a little bit of a list before we started this. And the things that we think that we're missing are leadership, stress management, practice management. Meant the importance of mentorship, which we didn't really get into that much here, but maybe we could do another podcast on that. Understanding money and business, understanding the value of outside help, the value of your own time, delegation, scaling yourself. And then I think it's really soft skills too. Understanding that doing great clinical work will only get you so far. And we love great clinical work, trust me. Martin and I, he was at Spear and doing great work there and teaching the best ways. And I've been publishing and practicing at a high level for many years. We love good clinical work. And I did good clinical work and I still had burnout. So it was the unknown unknowns of the soft skills and the time, effort, and money that I wasn't putting in to non-clinical topics is what I think what brought me down and thousands of other dentists.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yep, totally.
Well, guys, we hope you enjoyed this. We sure had fun doing this. And if you want to learn more about what we do together, what we do individually, go to wellnessanddentistry.com, click on links. You'll see all of our respective links, including our live event. We have one coming up in April of 2026. I think it's in Dallas. Yeah. And we'll talk more about that in the coming year. And we'll see you next week for a special holiday episode. See you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.